Would turn to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Very familiar passage. But if you miss it, you miss a lot. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, ye shall not surely die. Was that true or false? What it was using the same word that God used with a different definition. It was using the same word that God used with a different context. The fruit that they ate would not kill them when they ate it. The devil knew that. God didn't say it would. They would not immediately die physically as the penalty for eating it. Although God could have executed that penalty immediately. But the death penalty was placed on their disobedience. And they would indeed experience death in all of its forms eventually. But what the devil said was technically true in one sense. Okay? Eating that fruit would not kill them in and of itself. They were separated from God. They died to their own innocence and purity. They lost God's favor, blessing, and protection. They and all creation and all their descendants were brought under the curse of mortality, corruption, depravity, and sin. But he went on to say, Ye shall not surely die, but ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, was that true? In a sense, it was, because God Himself said, Man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. But to say it in the context of ye shall not surely die, to imply that you would not die, this the only thing that would happen was that you would now be as gods, knowing good and evil, was leaving out much. The context gave a wrong impression. That wrong impression led to a wrong conclusion, which was the intent of telling this truth the way he did and leaving out important information. They did not have a right to disobey God, even if what the devil said was true. So even if the tree didn't kill them, their trespass would and did. So what the devil was doing was telling a half-truth, a semi-truth, a truth in the wrong context, which led to wrong conclusions, a truth in the wrong with the wrong agenda, leaving out other important truths that went with it. And it's always Satan's way to mix truth and error, to give a wrong impression, to lead to a false conclusion, thinking you are building on the truth, because there's a little truth there that you're focused on, to make your wrong conclusion. We see this so much. You see it in doctrinal studies. You see it in the way people come up with their theology. They pull out a verse and they got a little bit of truth here, but it's out of context. It's missing the point of all the other truth that goes with it, everything else that's related to it. Turn to Matthew 13. So, we can see the root of Satan's devices. It has not changed. He's still doing the same thing and it's still working the same way. In Matthew chapter 13, we have a parable. And verse 24, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. Okay, now, we are in God's field. We find that the Lord is sowing good seed in His field. We know that the seed is the Word of God. And just as He is sowing good seed, there is an enemy sowing bad seed. And you are a product of the good seed, or you will be a product of the bad seed.
Right.
Okay? Now, in a normal field, one seed means one tare, one seed means one wheat stalk. You've got to go beyond the point of the parable and put all of it together, okay? Just like the man that sowed, some seed fell on good ground, some fell among thorns, and so forth. We need to understand that there's a point being made here. We know that Satan is sowing bad seed. We know that God has sown good seed. We know that the good seed is the Word of God. Okay? He says so. He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the seeds are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. Okay? The word is being sown. The word that's sown, it's not seeds, it's thoughts, it's ideas, it's principles, it's truths. They're being sown. The people who are acting upon those are becoming God's people, the wheat. The people who are acting upon the devil's seeds are becoming the tares. Okay? They're not God's people. And so what's happening here is we are seeing that there are two families of seeds being sown. As God's Word is the incorruptible seed, that when sown is designed to produce godliness and the characteristics that God is looking for, so Satan's half-truths and counterfeit doctrines are seeds that when sown are designed to produce the destruction of genuine faith and practice. These are seeds that their only purpose is to destroy the effects of God's Word. What happened in the garden? Hath God said, Satan was throwing out a seed there. Let's give you a couple more seeds. Let's see what you do with these. What are you going to do with it? Okay? He can't make you do anything with it. But He knows us well enough that this seed is going to hit a nerve. It's going to comply with something in our own nature. Okay? And He's throwing it out, saying, what's He going to do with that one? And He threw it out there, and Eve bit the bait. Eve became a product of the seed that Satan sowed instead of a product of the seed that God sowed. The Word of God was sowed. She had it. She knew it. But she didn't act upon it. She acted upon the seed that Satan sowed. You see that? Seeds of deception for the purpose of destruction. He did not care anything about what Eve did as long as he thwarted the Word of God sown in her. As long as he destroyed God's purpose in Eve, he really didn't give a care what happened after that. Okay? It didn't matter if she became a Buddhist or a Confucianist or if she became a libertine, or just a total prostitute, or a monk sitting in a cave somewhere. He didn't care. He didn't care what happened as long as the seed of the Word of God sown lost its effect. And its effect was not produced. The seeds of deception for the purpose of destruction. What does he want to destroy? Well, we've said many times, in your life, there are two primary relationships. categories. You've got the vertical relationship between you and God, and you've got the horizontal relationships between you and your fellow men. Okay? Now, Satan knows that in order to destroy the relationship between you and God, which, by the way, the seed of the Word of God, God's seed, the primary purpose of God's seed is what? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So the seed of the Word of God, God wants to reconcile with you. Okay? In order for God to reconcile with you, you've got to get this right. Okay? If you don't have this right, God cannot reconcile with you. You cannot go to heaven. There cannot be blessings. There cannot be prayers answered. There cannot be anything if you don't get these right. So God's seed is for the very purpose of leading you to get your relationships horizontally right so you can have a relationship vertically right with God. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, if you bring your gift to the altar, you bring your offering to God, and there you remember, my brother has aught against me, and I have fault in the matter. That's the whole point.
Right.
He said, God says, leave your gift, go get right with your brother, then come and offer your gift. The whole point of the matter is, God says, I'm not going to have a relationship with you until you get your other relationships right. If you're not willing to get these relationships right, then don't expect anything here. Okay? That's the point. And all of God's Word is trying to get you in a place where God can reconcile with man, where God can have a relationship with you, but He has to do it on His terms. In Romans 1:18, it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Ungodliness has to do with irreverence, a lack of relationship with God, and unrighteousness is the word injustice. Okay? Just like we've mentioned many times the word righteousness and justification, and the word unrighteous and unjust, they're very closely related in the Scriptures. So, Satan labors to drive a wedge between you and God by provoking you to get wrong in these relationships. By provoking you to mess up and trespass here and not have right relationships here, he can thwart your relationship with God. Look at the situation with Balaam. It was mentioned today in Sunday school. What happened there? They were trying to mess up Israel's relationship with God. Let's get God to curse him. God said, I'm not going to curse him. I'm going to bless him. The relationship we have right now, he said, all I'm going to do is bless him and bless him and bless him. Balaam's like, I know. I got it. Balak, come here. As long as Israel's relationships this way are right, they're following God's law, you can't mess this up. But if you can mess this up, you'll mess that up. So get all your young ladies out there, a bunch of young girls out there, and start inviting those Israeli young men to your religious services. Invite them to church. Well, their church was the typical heathen pagan church, which was built around what? A false concept of love. It's all about love. Our church is all about love, but no, it was all about lust. It was all about sensuality. Because it wasn't God's love. This is God's love. Proper relationship. That's God's love. But every religion that man has come up with always tends to the sensual. It's all about love. It's all about acceptance, and unconditional acceptance. You know what it leads to? It leads to fornication. Just go visit churches out here, and you'll see how all their love, love, love. Next thing you know, where'd the song leader go? Where was the pianist? You know, and why? Well, they're just following the natural conclusion of what they've been hearing. This sensual love leads to fornication. It did in the Church of the Revelation. That's what Jezebel and Thyatira was all about. It was that Gnostic love. So, what happens is, Satan has his seeds. He's got a whole collection of them. came along to Samson. Samson was good for God's people. God's people. And by the way, the devil, Israel was God's people. The devil didn't like that. They were in a position of blessing. You look in the Bible, every time God's people get in a position of blessing, everything's good between them and God, God's fighting for them, God's blessing them, the Satan says, we got to do something about this. Let's throw that out there. See what they're going to do with that one. Let's sow some seeds. What are they going to do with these? Let's see what they do with it. Look at Achan. What happened to Ai? Look at Balaam, Baal Peor. Look at Samson. He was judging Israel. He was mighty. Philistines, what are they going to do? Let's get some pretty girl out here. Let's throw the Delilah seed out there. What's he going to do with that? It worked, didn't it? Look at Saul. Saul was good for Israel. He was protecting Israel. All of a sudden, one day, God gave him a job. But the problem is, this seed called pride had been sown. You're not going to fall asleep today, are you? It had been sown. And so Samuel came to him and said, when thou wast little in thine own sight. So what happened there? Did he cease to be little in his own sight due to the Word of God? Well, they got past that one. And then David becomes his right-hand man. This is good for Israel. God's people are prospering. David's the right-hand man. I got a seed here. David has slain his, or Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. See what he's going to do with that one. Oh, that really, that threw a wrench in things, didn't it? Yeah, he did exactly what I thought he would do with that seed. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Wreaked havoc in the kingdom. Now, the kingdom's prospering. You'll see that everything's going good. David becomes king. Everything's going good. Bathsheba. Throw that out there. Then you've got Amnon. You've got Absalom. They get through all that. Things are going good again. Carnal security. It says here in 1 Chronicles 21:1, and Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. Things were going too good, weren't they? They were living by the Word of God. Things were going too good for God's people. We need to throw some seeds out there. We need to see what he's going to do with this. Then you've got Solomon. You've got Rehoboam. You could go on and on and on. Satan's got all kinds of seeds. And when things are going too good for God's people, when the church is prospering, when God is happy, and we're doing what we're supposed to do, evangelism and so forth, the Satan says, hey guys, get out there and sow some seeds. Get out there and sow some seed. We need some seed sown out there. Get some sow some seed. See what they do with that. James 1:13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Do you know what that means? That means Satan knows how to sow seeds appropriately. He knows who to give which seed to. You have an interest in this little seed. The devil knows it. He's not going to give a seed to Brother Paul that says, I'm the prettiest. Because he's not going to do anything with that. No. He's not going to give a seed to some young man that says, you know, I sing pretty. It's like, that's not the right seed. You give that seed over here to some young lady. The seed about, oh, I think I'm the prettiest. You give that to a young lady. You give it to the right young lady. You don't go to someone who's short and give them a seed that says, I'm so tall. But they ain't going to do that. Right? Satan knows how to sow seeds. A seed that hits a personal nerve. A seed that gratifies your pride. It comforts your fears. It encourages your selfish concerns. It gets into your desire. What did Eve? Eve wanted to, I'm going to know good and evil. I'm going to be smart. I'm going to be powerful. Well, it hit a nerve, didn't it? Sinful suggestions. It says, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. So, you are enticed by a fiery dart. Fiery dart, seed, doctrines of devils, all the same stuff, okay? You're enticed by this seed, this fiery dart, this suggestion, this thought that the devil sows in your life. It could be a false doctrine that comforts you and gratifies you. It could be some principle, false principle that you've been looking for to cover up something in your life that you wanted to cover up. Death to your relationship with God and the church and the destruction of your soul by provoking you to become wrong in these other relationships. When lust hath conceived, okay? That means when you have a desire, an ungodly desire, it's in your flesh. The devil throws out an enticement, trying to connect with that natural sinful inclination that you may have crucified it, you may have buried it, but the devil's trying to connect with it. When you are, it says, he's tempted when he is drawn away. In other words, the seed is sown. He connects with the seed. He responds to the seed. He's drawn by the seed sown. He's drawn to what? He's drawn to an opportunity to fulfill the lust. When lust meets opportunity, it conceives and brings forth sin. And when it is finished, it brings forth death. The devil knows what his plan is. It has worked for thousands of years. So the devil has these seeds. Trespass against your friends to advance yourself. Let's see what that's going to do. Let's go around the church. Sympathize with sin. Exalt yourself. Impress the crowd. Gratify your appetites. Resist correction. Hate accountability. All these little suggestions. Oh, here's one. Demand your rights. Find fault in others to encourage yourself. Question God's word and way when it hinders your agenda. Trust your own judgment above all. Here, just throw a bunch of those out there. Trust your own judgment above all. Seek sympathy and attention. You deserve it. We'll put that on the woman's side maybe. Try to get attention from the boys. Oh, we don't want to put that over here. We want to put that in there in the front row somewhere. Try to impress the girls. Well, that would be more appropriate over here, wouldn't it? Trample over others to assert your opinion. Well, that could go just about anywhere in the crowd. Protect your feelings. Yeah, throw one over there. What are you going to do with that? Let's see what's going to happen. The devil and the demons all sit back. What's going to happen now? Oh, that church was doing really good, wasn't it? Boy, those people were on fire for God. The preaching was good. They were praying was good. The singing was good. Everything was going good. Let's see what happens now. Let's just watch our seeds wreak havoc in the body of Christ. Prideful thoughts. Here's one. I'm so wonderful. Whee! Let's see what that does. Isn't my voice grand? Whee! I'm taller than others. I'm the prettiest. I'm a cool dude. I'm the strongest. My children are angels. I'm such a wonderful parent. Let's just throw all these seeds out there. Isn't this fun? The devil's just having a good time, isn't he? Oh, here's some accusations. He thinks he's so wise. She thinks she knows it all. He thinks he's better than everyone else. She thinks she's so pretty. How about some slanderous reports? Hey, do you know what he did? Man, those Albert boys. Oh, those Bullen boys. Oh, those Wallace boys. Oh, those, that deacon's children.
Hey, do you know what I saw?
Selfish thoughts. And sort of a little self-admiration, self-flattery, self-exaltation, self-preservation. Let me ask you a question. Are you going to become a product of the seeds that God sows? Or are you going to become a product of the seeds the devil's sowing? It's going to be one or the other. It's going to be one or the other. Time is going to tell. Time will tell. You will become a product of the seeds sown. Also, there's the seeds of ideas. It says, for their heart studieth destruction, their lips talk of mischief. Troublemakers, stirring up strife. Mischief. You know, that's an interesting word. It means, you divide it, it's mischief. You're not the chief, but you thought you were. Yeah. So, mischief. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. He winketh with his eyes. He speaketh with his feet. He teacheth with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. Hey! Everybody awake? He soweth discord. I hope you forgive me if I hit you in the nose or something. Proverbs 6:18, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief. It is a sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom. Proverbs 11:27, he that diligently seeketh good procureth favor, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall come upon him. There shall no evil thing happen to the just, but the wicked should be filled with mischief. Oh, it's just a little fun. That's why it's fun. Let's touch something that is not ours. Let's tamper with something. Let's do something where we have no jurisdiction. Let's push the rules. Let's devise some secret enjoyment contrary to godliness. It's all mischief. So what is Satan's purpose? We know. He wants to destroy the church, your family, and your soul by destroying your relationship with the saints. Right. He can destroy your relationship with the church, destroy your relationship with your fellow men because of your mischief, because of your pride, because of your accusative spirit, because of your conspiracy attitude. You know, we see in the disciples, we see that Jesus rebuked them because they had a conversation. Which of them should be the greatest? And we think, oh, how embarrassing that the disciples of Jesus would be talking about that. Brother, they've been talking about it ever since. Right. It's the most human thing to do. Comparing themselves among themselves. Who's the greatest housekeeper? And who's the greatest father? And who's the greatest mother? And who has the greatest organizational skills, and who has the greatest voice, and who has the wisest plan, and who works the hardest, and who makes the most money, and who spends the least money, and who lives the most self-sacrificial, and who's the best evangelist. It could go on and on and on. And Satan wants to just keep sowing his seeds because he wants you to fall into that same category of which one of us is the greatest. I guarantee you, he's sowing those seeds continually. And he's going to give you the one that you respond to. And he, you know, say, what does he want you to do with it? Well, you can either act upon it, obey the suggestions immediately, or you can wait till you get a whole collection and then let them sprout. Or grow them and pass them around. Hey, look what I got here. Look what I found out. Huh? You want to see what I found out? Uh-huh. Yeah, these are my little treasures. Uh-huh. Information I've got about different people in the church. Or you can share your collection with others. I'll give you some of mine if you give me some of yours. You got some? Huh?
Look at these.
Give me some of yours and I'll give you some of mine. And play show and tell. Admire one another. Wow. Look at all the seeds you've got there. Look at all the little tidbits you know about the people in the church. Or look at all the little stories you have to tell. Or all your little woes. Or ways to exalt yourself or tear others down. Or, you know, just play into the devil's plan here. Or you could just keep them back hidden and take them out now and then. And think about how wonderful you are. Because after all, look at all these seeds you have. In Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 10, turn there if you would. These seeds are nothing more than the fiery darts that are injected by Apollyon the destroyer.
Right.
Finally, my brethren, verse 10, chapter 6, verse 10. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What's he talking about? He's talking about the seeds that he's sowing. The devil has access to put thoughts and suggestions into your mind. This is a mental thing. You look at all the armor, it all goes back to my mind ultimately. Okay? And we'll see that. But it has to do with my thinking. It has to do with where I put my affections. It has to do with my conclusions and my values. And the wiles of the devil are nothing more than those seeds that he comes along in the field where good seed has already been sown and says, but I'm going to sow some of my own seeds. I'm going to see what he's going to do with that. What's he going to do with that one? Let's see what he does with that. Yeah, let's see what trouble we can stir up. What are you going to do with that? Try that one on. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You hear that? The devil wants you to think you're wrestling against flesh and blood. It's us and them. It's my family against their family. It's me against them. It's this young man against that young man. It's this young lady against that young lady. It's this father against that father. It's this mother against that mother. That only shows that you've swallowed a seed. Okay? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. That's a seed. That's the Word of God. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness. Right and wrong. Okay? That all still has to deal with a battle in the mind. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Having the true gospel. A proper gospel. A proper understanding of the gospel. That also has to do with your mind and your thinking processes. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Back to the mind again. Okay? The shield of faith. Wherewith? You should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, which in another place, he says, for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Alright? So in my mind, the hope of salvation, the faith, righteousness, the gospel, the truth, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The seed of the Word of God. That incorruptible seed, okay? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You can't watch thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints if there's something wrong between your relationship with the church. Okay? So the devil knows what he's attacking. He knows what he wants to destroy because he knows if he can destroy a vital link here, he can destroy a vital link here. He knows it. Okay, he's calculated. He's got it all planned out. So what does it mean to stand? Having done all to stand. Stand therefore. Now, we're talking about all the armor. But what does it mean to stand? Well, you've not been called to just stand there. Okay, you've been called to sow some seeds as well. God's seed. The Word of God. You've been called to sow some seed. And while you are sowing seed, the seed you're supposed to be sowing, you're going to immediately recognize an imposter.
That's right.
You're going to immediately say, these aren't the seeds that my Father gave me to sow. What are these doing here? These are the seeds my Father gave me to sow.
Yes.
And you know what? They all look the same because they're all love. They're all love. God's Word, truth, righteousness. Galatians 6:7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh, in other words, he sows that which complies with his flesh. Okay? In other words, the seeds that the devil gave him. He's sowing these seeds. The devil gave him these because the devil knew they would hit a nerve. He knew that they would coincide with something in him, his flesh. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit, that means you're sowing what God has given you to sow. Okay? That means you, your body, your hands, your feet, your tongue, your mind, you are propagating the Word of God. You're not propagating the seeds of the devil. You're not propagating the seeds of the grand accuser of the brethren. You're not propagating the seeds of the persecutor, of the hater of righteousness, of the father of lies. You're not propagating his seeds. You're propagating the seeds that God has given you to propagate.
That's right.
You're sowing the Word of God. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in what? Well-doing. Righteousness. Well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. The seeds that we sow in God's name, God's seeds, strengthen these relationships. God's seeds strengthen this relationship. His seeds always strengthen the relationships. These seeds always weaken the relationships. They always tear down the relationships. They seek to destroy the relationships.
Right.
So if we're busy sowing God's seeds, we should be able to recognize immediately an imposter.
Yes.
Truth, righteousness, the gospel of peace with God, reconciled with God, faith, in God's program. If I have the shield of faith in God's program, I'm going to know something's wrong here. This ain't right. This ain't right. This seed here, that's an imposter. What am I going to do? Am I going to save it back for later? Am I going to just give it away, share it with somebody? What am I going to do with this imposter seed? You smash it.
Amen.
Somebody comes and says, hey, look at this nice little seed I got. Look at that one. Isn't that pretty? You go, you know why? Because then it can't germinate.
Amen.
It can't propagate. If you're busy sowing God's seeds, you don't want tares in your field.
Right.
You don't want alien seeds. Smash them. Destroy them. 1 Peter 1:22 says, seeing ye have purified your souls, listen closely to this, in obeying the truth through the Spirit. Okay? You have purified your souls. You're a product of God's seed. In obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto what? Unfeigned love of the brethren. You see that? God's seeds lead to unfeigned love of the brethren.
Right.
Seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. That's the seed that you're supposed to be sowing. That's God's seed. Anything else is the devil's seeds.
Right.
Okay? And you may think, oh, I don't like Brother Mark as much as I used to. I don't like this other guy in the church as much as I used to. Hey, what you don't know is you're just a puppet.
Yep. Right, right.
Satan is attacking this relationship for one purpose. So he can destroy that relationship.
Right,
right. And only a fool would not see what the devil's up to and play into it thinking, look at all my little seeds. No, you're just... Those are the devil's seeds. Love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. You see that? Let me read it again. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again. Being born again. Oh, I'm born again. No. Let's get back to the Bible. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. In other words, I'm not a product.
Right.
You're a product of one or the other, and that determines whose child you are. Okay? If you're born again of the incorruptible seed, you're a child of God. If you're born again of the corruptible seed, you're a child of the devil.
Yes.
Okay? So don't say, well, I've been born again. Throw that idea away. You're a product of the seeds that you are responding to.
Right.
The question is, whose disciple will you be? Are you going to be sowing the devil's seeds? You're going to be sowing for the devil? Are you going to be sowing God's seeds? Y'all looking closely, you don't get hit with one of these. You're going to be sowing God's seeds. You're going to be sowing the Word of God. What is coming out of your mouth? What is working in your mind? What is coming out of your actions? Are you sowing the Word of God?
Good.
Are you building these relationships? If you're sowing the Word of God, you're building relationships.
That's right.
If you're not building these relationships, you're sowing the seeds of the devil.
Right.
And it's only because Satan wants to, he wants to cut you off here, so then he'll cut you off there automatically. He knows, just like with Balak. He knows if he can cut you off here, God will cut you off there. You see that? Satan's not going to come to you and say, hey, you need to get mad at God. I'm too pious for that. No. He's going to get you upset over here. He's going to cut you off here or cut you off here. And then God says, leave your gift before the altar. I don't want to hear from you until you get right with your brother. So now you're cut off here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but we'll get over that. That's what idols are for. Right? We talked about today. God will cut, you know, I'll figure out, I'll go to the church of my choice. I'll go to this other church that understands me. If you're not in line with truth, you're in line with an idol.
Right.
If you're not in line with proper relationship with God's people, the church, the truth of God, the Word of God, you're a product of something else.
Right.
Only a fool cannot see what Satan is doing with all his little seeds. Only a fool sees these seeds as precious little treasures that I harbor, that I keep around, because I may want to share them with somebody sometime. Because after all, if I do, it makes me look smart and big and makes me look better. You know, this, you children, we have a family over for dinner and the children get together and whisper about the other children in the church. That's what you're doing right here. Okay? The women get together, you know, and we get together and we want to share about the other women in the church, or this, you know, my children are angels and theirs are devils and all this kind of stuff. When there's problems, there are biblical ways to deal with problems. Okay? This is not the biblical way to deal with problems. Okay? This never solves anything.
Right.
If it weakens and tears down the relationships, we're not sowing these. Okay, we're sowing these. If it builds the relationship based on truth. Now, all I'm responsible for is sowing the truth, the Word of God. If someone doesn't like it and they leave, that's because they're following this, and I cannot force them to be a product of this. If they want to be a product of this, I can't do that. But if what I'm sowing builds relationships on truth, builds proper relationships, if what I'm sowing builds proper relationships, then I can be confident of this right here. But if I'm sowing tears down these relationships, I can be confident that there's problems elsewhere. So whose disciple are you going to be? You are not your own. You are not your own if you're Jesus' disciple. You are bought with a price. Okay? You are bought with a price for one purpose, and that is to sow His seed. To sow the Word of God. To sow righteousness. To sow truth. To sow the Gospel. To sow faith. To sow watchfulness. To sow prayerfulness. And to have the whole armor of God. You have no business sowing the devil's seeds. That's betrayal of your master. Let's stand together. Satan's seeds of destruction. If we understand what he's doing, we will realize it's far more. It's far more than him and him. There's more going on than just, well, we don't get along, we don't have a lot in common, I don't like his personality. You know, the Bible says, seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently.
Right.
And that is being born again by the Word of God. The incorruptible seed of the Word of God. That's what it looks like. So, if that's not what you're doing, you're not being born again by the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. It's bigger. It's bigger than him and I, us and them. It's bigger than that, folks. Okay? We here are a biblical church based on the Word of God, striving to follow the whole counsel of God. Don't think that nitpicky relationship issues here are just nitpicky relationship issues. Okay? There is a mastermind. There's a mastermind who is sowing seeds. Seeds. And if he can get you to act upon it, then you are helping him destroy the church of Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. That's the big picture. So, what are my options? Purify my soul and obeying the truth of the Spirit and the unfeigned love of the brethren and love one another with a pure heart fervently. That's my option. If I want to have this relationship right, that's my option, period.
Yes.
Any thoughts from the brethren before we pray?
Amen.
Let's pray.